time the phone company tells me that you've only had this number for a few months and that it's a private number.
Someone who mixed up the ingredients, falsified the formula.
You're under arrest for murder.
You see, this Mr. Smith has some sort of formula that he's trying to sell.
Found out that they actually use poisons when they make cosmetics. Belladonna, aconite.
I need that formula.
Make me an offer.
Beautiful, isn't she? Every time I go to the bathroom, there she is.
A woman lying on her back opens her eyes and gazes up at a circular light shining down on her. In some sort of surgical laboratory, a man wearing a white coat looms over the woman and gently touches her cheek. He steps back, making way for a man holding a camera, who proceeds to photograph her face. Returning to the woman, the man in the white coat reaches out with a scalpel and scrapes a flesh-coloured substance off her cheek, which he then places on a small glass microscope slide. A third man, who's been observing, adjusts the light.
Next victim, please. Plasma and sutures ready, nurse.
Oh, shut up, Carl.
Take courage, sir. Just think how many years Dr. Frankenstein must have spent on his research.
Yes. But he only made one little monster. He didn't live in our jungle. He didn't have to succeed. He didn't have to... Oh, never mind. That's enough.
Waving the photographer aside, Dr. Murchison goes back to the table and picks up a scalpel. Sweating, he reaches out with a shaking hand and accidentally nicks the woman's cheek with the blade. Putting a hand on his shoulder, Carl takes the scalpel from him and takes the next sample himself. Murchison leaves and steps into an observation room and takes off his surgical gloves. Sitting down at a desk, he reaches into a drawer and removes a brown bottle. Peter Falk as Columbo. Lovely but lethal. Guest stars Vera Miles, Martin Sheen and Sean Barbara Allen. Murchison pours a little liquid from the bottle into a plastic beaker and downs it in one. Looking very uneasy, Murchison notices a red jar at the edge of the desk. He picks it up with a trembling hand.
A miracle. That's all I want.
He gazes at a picture of a glamorous woman hanging on the wall. Special guest star Vincent Price is David Lang.
That's all we've ever wanted, right, Your Majesty?
Here's another variation on the captain theme. This one flowing and soft in a soft print and with its sparkle and glamour right down the front. In the
Vivica, darling, what are you doing here? Settling false eyelashes, huh?
David Lowe, where did you get the new hairpiece? Surely you don't make anything that clever.
Still my lover, huh? But now, don't be embarrassed because I caught you at a fashion show. I used to butter up the designers, too, when business was bad.
Well, if those girls are wearing a sample of your new eyeshadow, Lang Cosmetics is in trouble. My, what a sweet little dress.
Don't waste your ammunition, honey. My secretary, that's all, Shirley Blaine.
Sorry, love.
She walks away.
Vivica... Seriously, darling, I've been watching Beauty Mark stocks go down the last 2 months. Now, well, since I always like to help a compatriot if they seem to be in trouble.
Mr. Lang, why don't you just go gobble up a pill company?
It isn't surprising, of course. You haven't hit with a really good new product since you pirated those French lipsticks 2 years ago.
Is that where you stole the silly eyeshadow?
I'll always think of you as the queen of cosmetics. But if things do get too bad, if you ever do need to get out of this crazy roller coaster business.
Oh, David. You innocent lamb. Are you in for a surprise?
Excuse me, Miss Scott. I think you dropped your program. Instead of the little black dress,
it's marvelous brown. It does things. Oh, yes. How silly of me. Of course I did. Bye bye, darling. I'll send flowers to your funeral.
The word miracle in red lettering over a blazing sun.
Voila.
Yes. The sun. I love the sun.
The Fountain of Youth stuff I'm not happy with yet. And Vanish I threw out. Sounds too much like old-fashioned vanishing.
Oh, no. Miracle is right. Because it is a miracle. Imagine a harmless cream that can actually make wrinkles disappear. It's like alchemy. It's the dream of the centuries. It's what women have longed for since ancient Egypt.
Well, I went ahead and reserved the network television time. But our credit's not very good, so unless we can start mass production by the end of the month...
Of course we can. And I want you to be ready with full color inserts for all the fashion magazines. Darling, we're going to put them all out of business. When David Lang sees them... I told you...
Your Majesty.
Merch, dear. Dear, come in. We were just talking.
Yes, yes. The fruits of a whole year's labor. My most sublime accomplishment. The dream of all mankind. The dream to save all our skins.
You're wobbling.
Yes, and I have hastened my queen from a final secret testing of this elixir. This masterpiece of my chemical genius.
Who told you to do any more testing? What if one of your models talks? I thought my orders were quite clear. On the basis of last week's reports...
Those reports were wrong. It was a fluke. I jumped the gun. One little sample that broke down. I tried combination after combination since. This miracle of ours will never be any more useful for concealing wrinkles than axle grease.
Later, Vivica to Shirley.
I got your note on the back of the program, dear, but I really haven't time to talk right now.
Oh, I just thought that you might like to see something that Mr. Lang did today.
Today, I could care less what that devil did. Not that I'm not grateful for my little pipeline, you understand.
Is something wrong, Miss Scott?
Acid stomach. What have you made a photocopy of now? Oh, a check.
He didn't see me do it, of course, but Mr. Lang went to the bank and got that check himself this afternoon, and then he came back and locked it in a desk drawer.
I'm happy that David Lang has $200,000 to give anyone. Who's Harry Smith, his bookie?
No, that's not his real name. It's the name of a man who's only been to the office once or twice, late at night when nobody else is there.
Except you, of course. I appreciate your efforts.
Oh, I was only there because Mr. Lang wanted to trick him. You see, this Mr. Smith has some sort of formula that he's trying to sell. And Mr. Lang asked me to bring in this older friend of mine, and Mr. Smith rubbed some of the formula on her skin. Then when Mr. Smith was gone, Mr. Lang tried to take scrapings from her cheek to analyze.
Go on.
Yes, but there wasn't any left. Because whatever there was, I got.
What is that?
On this really old woman that Mr. Smith brought with him the first time. Watch. Oh, sweetheart, you've got a smudge right there by your eye.
I do?
Yes, but I'll rub it off for you. Here, come sit down.
The elderly maid takes a seat.
Right. Now, close your eyes. You know, that must be cigarette ash. I smoke much too much, too.
Mm-hmm.
There, keep your eyes shut.
Vivica watches as Shirley rubs a white cream into the wrinkles beside the woman's eye. To her astonishment, they vanish immediately.
There.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. Isn't that incredible? Wrinkles just disappear, and it lasts all day. Oh, Vivica, I don't know if you can beat him to this, but you know how anxious I am to find a better position. And the thought of a man like David Lang getting his hands on a discovery like this just makes me sick.
Shirley, tell me one thing. What does Harry Smith look like?
Well, he's about medium height, thick brown hair, not more than 35 years old.
Why isn't your husband home yet? Mrs. Kelly, I do not pay my lawyers to play squash. You tell him. Oh, never mind.
Vivica rams a file with Carl's picture on it into a cabinet. Now the front door of a beach house opens, and Carl steps in and switches on the light. Sifting through his post, he puts an envelope in his mouth and takes off his jacket while peering into a microscope sitting on a desk. He throws down his jacket, then yanks off his tie and looks again. Hearing a sound, he looks up from the microscope and glances around the living room. Noticing an open drawer and cupboard, he steps over to a sideboard and bends down to look inside. He hears another sound. This time he rushes into the kitchen and heads straight for a large tin on the counter. Vivica turns on the light.
So that's where it was.
How did you get in here?
A key.
Still keep it in the flower pot.
Well, at least you haven't forgotten that.
There are a lot of things I haven't forgotten, darling. What are you going to do with that?
Don't you know?
Peddle it to David Lang as a sample of your wares? Don't worry, dear, I'm alone. Poor old Murchison. If he only knew. He really did work a miracle, didn't he?
He had some help.
Sure he did. Someone who mixed up the ingredients, falsified the formula, stole it, and is now going to sell it to the highest bidder.
Yeah, something like that, I guess.
No, nothing like that. Because we're going to put the thief away.
She marches out.
Are we?
Carl strolls casually into the living room as Vivica's making a call.
Hello, this is Vivica Scott. Yes, Scott. I'm a personal friend of the chief's. I want to be put through to him right away. Yes, I'll wait.
You still like those tequila cocktails with the organic cactus juice, right? I've always thought that was an appropriate drink for you.
She ignores him. Carl ambles over and offers her a drink.
What's the matter, love? Are the police closed tonight for inventory?
You slimy little snake.
Oh, no, Vivi. I'm your hairy little teddy bear. Remember me?
As he saunters over to the sofa and puts his feet up, Vivica has to stop herself from boiling over.
What do you want for the jar?
Oh. You can have the jar.
He rolls it over to her.
But, it isn't worth very much without the formula. We'll have to negotiate on that.
Where is it? It's not written down anywhere?
He shakes his head.
It's mine.
Is it?
You stole it!
Prove it.
She walks over to him and sits down.
Carl, I need that formula. Our sales are down. We've lost some exclusive outlets. And that louse, David Lang, is closing in on me. Miracle. I need miracle.
Make me an offer.
Vivica takes out a magazine and writes a figure on the back, then shows it to him.
I never knew you had a sense of humor.
Vivica's smile fades. She takes the magazine and writes a new figure.
Remember, if we call you the inventor, you'll get royalties on the gross. Say, 10% on each unit?
It's not enough, Vivica. Not nearly enough for a miracle.
What do you want?
He stares at her.
You want me?
Mm-hmm.
Him, darling. We have no problem. I've always liked you. It was only a matter of respect. Frankly, I didn't know you had it in you.
Are you surprised?
Mm-hmm. But I like it.
I'll bet you do.
Now, you know, Ralph, I always like to mix a little business with pleasure. The formula is...
What else?
What do you mean, what else?
Now, that's no way to speak to your new partner.
Partner? Never in a million years!
Well, it's either that or you go to work for David Lang. Now, what do you say, babe? It's up to you.
Taking a moment to consider, Vivica smiles, then touches his lower lip with her finger.
Partner.
Carl reaches out to her.
You have no idea how long I've waited for this moment. Waited and planned. And now... No, thank you, darling. You're not gonna make a sucker out of me like you did Murchison.
He turns his back on her.
Well, there was a time when I would have given you anything. Now, quite frankly...
He smashes him over the head with a microscope.
Carl?
Bending down over him, she cuts her finger on tiny shards of glass embedded in the carpet. Getting up, she takes a tissue out of her bag and wipes her fingerprints off the microscope and phone. Putting the red jar in her bag, she hears a noise coming from outside. She heads for the back door. Later, Lieutenant Columbo's covering his face with both hands as he arrives at Carl's beach house. Taking out a hard-boiled egg, he begins tapping it on the mailbox at the bottom of the steps. Just then, two coroners bring out Carl's body on a stretcher.
Morning, Lieutenant. Would you like to see the corpse?
No thanks. I'll just talk to the doctor.
About to step up to the house, he checks the mailbox and sees that it's empty. Heading up the steps, he notices a dustbin at the side of the house.
Hey, Lieutenant Columbo!
He lifts the lid.
Find something in there?
Ah, my breakfast is.
Columbo drops some eggshell into the bin, then enters the house and walks over to a white outline on the living room floor.
What time did I get you up this morning, Sergeant?
About an hour ago, Lieutenant. The kid looked through the window there and spotted the body right here, just after daylight.
What was this guy, some kind of scientist?
A chemist. He worked for Beauty Mark Cosmetics. He must have had two jobs because we found these smaller pay stubs in the desk there, and I also found his bank book in there, Lieutenant. And this magazine I found over there on the table.
What is that, a microscope?
Yes, sir. And oh, Lieutenant, here's some notes the doctor made.
You know, I haven't seen one of these things since high school.
And here's a blood stain. The doc seems to think this will match up as a murder weapon. However, I haven't found any prints.
It was hit from behind, Lieutenant, by a heavy object.
You know, you better be careful. Feels like there's some broken glass on the floor.
Apparently, they broke a drinking glass.
Anyway, Lieutenant, it's all in here. He died from a fractured skull.
Excuse me one moment, would you, Sergeant?
Stepping through to the kitchen, Columbo notices the flour tin Carl was using to hide the miracle cream and peers inside.
Hey, Lieutenant, what are you looking for?
Salt for my egg. Used to carry a shake in my pocket.
Yeah, here's salt. That's just flour.
Maybe once, not now. Something else was in there.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think it was?
I have no idea, Lieutenant.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8-sided bottom, octagonal.
Yeah, it looks that way. It looks octagonal. Hey, Lieutenant, This just might fit in with a theory I'm developing. As you probably noticed, this is a hippie neighborhood, right? And this guy, Lessing, had a lot of chemical supplies lying around. Suppose somebody thought they were drugs. Or maybe they were drugs. Because I want to show you something, Lieutenant. He didn't get paid very much by Beauty Mark.
Columbo notices a black and white photo of Vivica on a dartboard.
Lieutenant?
Beautiful, isn't she?
We haven't really checked on who that is yet, Lieutenant.
You don't know?
No.
She is Beauty Mark. I mean, her real name is Vivica Scott, but, listen, every time I go to the bathroom, there she is. I'm really, as long as I can remember, on every one of my wife's drawers, on the lotion, on the tubes, on the cream. I guess you're not married, huh?
No, I'm not.
Excuse me, Sergeant. The kid's boss is outside.
Now?
Huh? Lieutenant, I told you it was a kid who first spotted Lessing's body, remember? Well, that kid worked for a travel agency. And it's his boss that's outside. Be right with you.
Columbo gazes at the photo on the dartboard.
That's right. This Mr. Lessing placed a hurry-up order for all sorts of reservations, plane tickets, yesterday afternoon. Well, when I couldn't reach him by phone last night to confirm, I got a little worried because it is a common racket, you know, and so I didn't have my breakfast this morning. I sent the boy over here to snoop while I started canceling reservations.
Excuse me, sir. These are tickets to where?
All Paris, George Sank, then a week on the Riviera, all deluxe accommodations. And he was to leave first class today on a 747. Naturally, I had to guarantee deposits.
Excuse me, sir. Sergeant, I thought you told me that Mr. Lessing was hard up.
His latest bank statement shows that he had a balance of less than $300. But here, on the back of this magazine, he apparently did some doodling. There's dollar signs, figures. He did it or somebody else did.
Yeah, anybody can do it who's doodling.
Excuse me. There's no check on the handwriting.
Me, Lieutenant, this Mr. Lessing was to have been in my office this morning with a check for more than $3,000.
Hear that, Lieutenant? Lessing must have been expecting some money.
It's a funny kind of pencil to doodle with.
Pulling up outside Beauty Mark Inc., Vivica gets out of her long white car and walks up to the main entrance. As a doorman lets her in, she kisses her hand and touches his nose. In a studio, four female models are posing for a photographer.
All right, Adele, enjoy it. It's your first drink of the day. All right, Sergeant, come on. A little more vital, Teddy, just a touch. Good, good. Good for you?
Ernie, I thought this was going to be a lipstick layout.
But of course, love. Just wait till they open their mouths. I mean, just wait until you see what I've created for you.
Columbo wanders into the studio.
Can I help you, sir?
I guess I came in the wrong door, sorry.
As the photographer turns back to his camera, Columbo spots Vivica sitting behind him.
All right, Laura. Enjoy it.
Miss Scott, right?
Yes.
I'm sorry, forgive me, I didn't mean to intrude. You know, upstairs they told me you'd be down here, but this is some building you got here. I mean, you got everything.
Do
in this
I know
building.
You?
You don't know me, ma'am, but I sure know you. Every time I shave, there you are. It's a pleasure. My name's Lieutenant Columbo. I'm from the LAPD. Do you have a moment?
Carry on, Ferdy. Come this way, please.
All right, Adele, let's take a moment.
Murdered? How horrible.
Yes, it's terrible.
What'd you say his name was? Lessing? Not that nice young man in Dr. Murchison's department.
A chemist, ma'am, yes.
Yes.
But I understand he was going to be fired today.
Oh, well, it had nothing to do with him, Lieutenant. Poor boy. I wonder if he had any family.
No, ma'am, he didn't. You know, in that connection, maybe you can help me out. I was upstairs, and I wanted to ask about him with somebody in the laboratory there. You know, they wouldn't let me in. Like Fort Knox around here. I had no idea you had such top secrets in a nice lady's business like this.
I'll fix that, Lieutenant. You can go anywhere you want and ask anything you want. We have no secrets from the police.
Oh, thank you. I knew you'd say that.
Yes, let me have Dorothy.
Just on the type of person you are.
She's not. Oh, how long? Oh, no, never mind. I'll call back.
You know, I gotta tell you honestly that I feel like I've known you for 100 years. I feel like a member of the family. I mean, you're like like Liddy Pinkham.
Oh, well. Thank you. Oh, well. My secretary is out right now, but I'll take care of it as soon as she returns. I can't help but think you're wasting your time, but if you'd like to talk to my personnel director, he could probably tell you more about Mr. Lessing.
No, I've already spoken to him, and he showed me Mr. Lessing's file. Oh, listen, you know, in that connection, there was something funny about that, you know. It was the only file folder in the whole cabinet that had been shoved in backwards.
Oh, I don't understand.
Oh, I'm sure it don't mean anything. I was just wondering about it. Because personnel files, they're confidential, and the file is usually locked. So I was just curious who might have a key and who wouldn't have a key.
Well, I have one, and probably a dozen other people. I could get your list if you like.
No, that won't be necessary. Maybe later. I won't bother you anymore.
No trouble, Lieutenant. Oh, Lieutenant, you will let me know the minute you have any idea who that poor boy's murderer was, won't you?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
When he turns to leave, Vivica picks up a phone and makes a call.
Oh, yes, Dora, there's a Lieutenant Colombo in the building. I think he's on his way up to the lab now. Would you please see...
Scott, there is something maybe I ought to tell you right now, because it might not have been a murderer. I think it was a woman that killed him.
You do?
Or at least a woman was there last night. You see, on the back of this television magazine that just must have come in the mail just yesterday, there was a lot of doodling. Black figures, black numbers and dollar signs.
Yes?
Hmm. Well, they were written with a black eyebrow pencil. I spotted it right away because that's what my wife always uses when she makes out her grocery list. When she goes into her purse, that's the only kind of pencil she can ever find.
Then you're wasting your time here, aren't you, Lieutenant?
What do you mean?
Talking to a redhead. Brunettes use black eyebrow pencil.
Columbo considers. Later, he's with a janitor as he cleans a lab.
Do you know if he had any girlfriends?
Now, how would I know if he had any girlfriends? I just work here, that's all.
No, I was just thinking, you know, maybe somebody here in the company. Because you can't help noticing there's an awful lot of female employees around.
Models, Lieutenant. I mean, you don't think they'd be interested in a mere chemist's salary, do you? Besides, this guy Carl was one of those guys that stuck pretty much to himself. Guy with a lot of ambition, you know what I mean? I guess he figured if you can't bed the mother hen, why waste time with the chickens?
Mind if I ask you something? What are you doing all this for, anyway?
Because whenever they stop one of these projects, I gotta get rid of everything. The papers, the test materials, everything.
Why?
To keep the other companies from finding out. Come on.
The janitor pulls his trolley out into the hall.
What was that project Mr. Lessing was working on, anyway?
Who knows? They never tell anybody anything. Just her nibs and a few top executives.
Gee whiz, you'd think that they were building secret weapons around here.
Why, wouldn't it? Do you have any idea how much the women of America spend to make themselves beautiful? Anyway, whatever it was, it didn't work. Because everybody in this section got canned.
Oh, really?
While the janitor disposes of the contents of one bin, Columbo peers into another.
Excuse me, just 1 minute.
What's the matter?
You gonna throw this out?
Yeah, of course. Everything goes.
Well, what do I use this for anyway? I mean, it's got no label, it's got no writing, nothing.
Every test product has a special container, Lieutenant. Like the one you're holding. Here, let me show you. Hold this. Now, there are only a dozen of these. It's a way of coding, that's all. Coding, you know what I mean? Different colors, different shapes. Now, one is missing.
You mind if I keep this?
For what? They've all been sterilized. There's nothing in them.
Ah, well, it's sort of nice. You keep things in it. Cufflinks, tie clasp, kind of like the bottom. Each sides. What do you call that, octagonal?
Vivica arrives at her office.
Miss Scott, your phone's been ringing and ringing.
I know, Dora, never mind. I don't want to be bothered yet. Don't let anyone in to see me for a little while.
Scott, you're glad I called you.
I want to thank you for letting me look around. Boy, this cosmetic business, it sure is a long ways from just hair coilers and face grease. You know, I had no idea. A fella showed me an eyelash. It was made out of real live mink. And the third floor, they don't do anything up there but cook up perfume for men. Am I right?
Right.
What's the world coming to?
Well, come back anytime you like, Lieutenant, and find out.
Thank you. I think I've seen enough. Oh, listen, there's one other thing I wanted to ask you about. The fellow that Lessing worked with, Dr. Murchison, I can't find him, and I was wondering whether you can help me. Apparently, he goofed up on some expensive project that he was working on. Gee, I've seen this picture every day for 12 years. You're a beautiful woman. At any rate, I've got Dr. Murchison's telephone number, and I've called him, but I haven't had any luck. Can you help me?
Well, just try the nearest saloon. I'm sure that's the only place he's welcome anymore.
Say, Miss Scott, can I ask you a personal question?
Yes.
It's, well, you know, it has to do with these pictures. You always wear a beauty mark, only this morning you don't have it on.
Oh, is that all? It's just one of those things I never do before lunchtime, darling. Bye-bye.
Now, what I was wondering about was how you put those things on. I mean, do you stick them on or do you paint them on or,
Vivica looks hesitant.
Well, I can tell you're not interested in your mind someplace else. Don't worry about it, I'll ask somebody else.
Oh, no, Lieutenant, I don't mind telling you. I use an eyebrow pencil, of course. A black one.
When Columbo stares back at her, Vivica smiles and steps into her office. Looking alarmed, she rushes over to the desk and switches on the intercom.
Bye-bye, ma'am.
Goodbye, sir.
Relieved to hear him leave, she walks around her desk and reaches into her bag. Taking out the red jar, she unscrews the lid and smells the cream before dabbing her finger in it. Rubbing her finger and thumb together, she savors the moment before wiping off the cream with a tissue. She picks up the jar, steps over to a wall safe concealed behind a picture, then dials a combination. Placing the jar inside, she closes the safe, then returns to her desk to make a call.
Extension 517, please. Hello, I'd like to speak with Miss Shirley Blaine. Oh, you mean she hasn't come to work yet? Oh, I see. Oh, no, I'll call back in about half an hour. Thank you.
Putting the phone down, she glances at her watch, then begins absent-mindedly scratching her finger.
Hello? Hello?
It's Shirley's desk.
Hung up. Phone was ringing every few minutes, so I thought I'd answer it. I hope you don't mind.
Oh, I'm very sorry that I wasn't here to help you, sir, but I've been very busy taking dictation. Now, what can I do for you?
Yes, may I get that for you?
Thank you.
All those cigarettes yours?
Yes.
May I tell you something?
Yes.
Whenever I see a pretty young girl like you doing all that smoking, I say to myself, why does she take the chance?
Thank you.
Hey, wait a minute. My cigar.
Smiling, Shirley empties an ashtray.
Now, you were telling me that you were...
Yeah, I'm Lieutenant Columbo. I'm from the LAPD. Isn't that a shame? Good-looking young guy like that.
Yes, I haven't had a chance to read it yet. Why are you here, Lieutenant?
Oh, I just want to see Mr. Lang for a moment. The girl in the outer office said maybe you could slip me in.
May I tell him what it's about?
No, don't bother. I'll do that. You don't mind if I borrow that paper, do you?
No.
I'll bring it back.
Columbo picks up the paper, then follows Shirley into Lang's office.
Sorry, Lieutenant. Carl Lessing.
I never heard of the man.
You mind taking another look?
Well, I never met him either, as far as I can remember. Now, why would I?
Well, you know, he wasn't actually a scientist, like it says there in the paper. You know, really, he was just an assistant chemist.
You mean over at Beauty Mark? I read faster than you might think. Well, I've been there a few times, of course. I mean, after all, Vivica Scott is one of my oldest and dearest friends. So it's quite possible that I've run into him sometime or another. Oh, but really, Columbo, look, this is one of the biggest businesses in the country. I mean, there are literally thousands of chemists in cosmetics. Now, why you should come here and question me about some unknown, I just don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Scraps of paper.
See, I gotta pay that. One moment. That's it.
That's what?
Mr. Lang, the phone company tells me that you've only had this number for a few months and that it's a private number.
Well?
Well, I was sort of wondering why this Carl Lessing would have it. You see, my office told me that they found this number scribbled on a small piece of paper in Mr. Lessing's wallet.
Well, why the devil didn't you say that in the first place?
Well, I wanted to make sure first, sir. You see, even the phone company makes mistakes, and inasmuch as this number was the only thing about you that anybody found...
Well, yes, of course. I mean, it just never... Wait a minute.
Lang takes another look at the paper.
Find something there, sir?
Well, there are a lot of young chemists in and out of here. You know, we pay the highest wages in the business, so naturally they come here looking for jobs. Just a second. Shirley, come in here a minute, will you?
We do know Mr. Lessing was expecting some money, and maybe a lot of money.
Now, don't get ahead of yourself, Lieutenant. I haven't offered anyone a job for months. Oh, Shirley. Look, have a look here, huh? It's not a very good picture, but there was a young fellow in here the other day, maybe once before. I didn't have time to talk to him.
Doesn't look familiar. Lessing?
No, that's the wrong name. But he was about, average height and curly hair. It was something like Johnson, Jefferson, maybe.
Oh. Well, you may be right, sir, but you didn't ask me to fill out a card on him or anything like that.
That's all that there was. I'm afraid I didn't hear anything he said, Lieutenant.
I'm very sorry, sir, but you see, I'm so busy, I don't have time to notice everyone who comes into the office.
Why would he change his name?
If he was already working for Vivica. She demands devotion from her handsome young men. Oh, I don't mean it in quite that way, no. Well, protocol, discretion, who knows?
Still can't figure out how he get your private phone number.
Unless he looked at it, Lieutenant. Just as you did. Sorry I couldn't be of more help.
Well, me too, sir. You see, this lesson was up for something, I think. But this cosmetic stuff is such a complicated thing. I mean, all this top secret research going on and people spying on other people's products, so, you know, I thought maybe you could give me some clue.
If you're questioning the American system of free enterprise, Lieutenant, you've come to the wrong place. Besides, here at Lang, we don't need to bother with that sort of thing.
Columbo waves goodbye and leaves, absent-mindedly scratching his hand. Now, Shirley and Vivica are at a clothes shop.
$10 raise. Did you ever hear of anything so insufferably male?
Then what did he say?
To that silly policeman? You don't think David Lang would let himself be concerned with anything human like a murder, do you?
Maybe. I mean, if you're so sure that the man he wrote the check to, that Harry Smith, is really Carl Lessing, then maybe they got into a fight over the price of the formula or something. They were trying to cheat each other, weren't they?
And you think that Mr. Lang killed him? Oh, no. No way. You see, I saw that picture in the newspaper first this morning. And then when Mr. Lang came in and noticed it there on my desk, well, he didn't say a word, but I thought for a moment he was going to faint.
Oh, dear, may I see that? I'm sure it's not your size anyway.
Vivica takes a dress over to a mirror.
And then do you know what he did?
Shirley, we can't stay here all day.
Well, he said he was going downstairs for just a moment, but where he really went was the bank. I know because I've got a girlfriend over there. And you know what he did? He deposited that $200,000 check right back into his account.
Well, so what? It still doesn't mean he couldn't have murdered...
Oh, no, I'm positive. $450.
Shirley holds the expensive outfit in front of her and looks in the mirror.
I wonder if I could afford that.
Vivica looks at her.
I really have to go.
I know. But Vivica, dear, if Mr. Lang didn't kill that nice young man, then who do you suppose did?
Vivica considers.
Shirley, dear, why don't you come out to the farm this afternoon? You know, take that same back road. Something I want to talk to you about.
But how can I leave the office? I mean, Mr. Lang might have some errands for me to run, but I don't know if I can...
All right, if you can't make it. I just thought, well, we haven't talked about you yet.
Shirley smiles.
3 o'clock? How about 3 o'clock?
Good.
That same place that we met before.
Why, Miss Scott, I didn't see you. Is there something we can show you?
No, just slumming my way to lunch. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Shirley goes back to looking at herself in the mirror. In a lab at Beauty Mark Inc., Vivica checks her itchy finger before opening a packet of cigarettes and taking one out. She opens a vial, then uses tweezers to remove a white crystal, which she then drops into the end of the cigarette. Hearing a noise coming from outside, she walks over to a window. Looking down into a large courtyard in which women dressed in red tracksuits are doing aerobic exercises, she sees Columbo's car pulling in through the gate. She checks her watch.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Columbo climbs out of his car, then scratches his head at the sight of the women exercising.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Together, girls, together, legs up. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Columbo crosses the courtyard.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Why are we here, girls? Why am I here? Why am I? All right, girls, sit down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2.
As he begins rubbing his hand, Vivica walks out into the courtyard.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Lieutenant! What on earth are you doing here?
Oh, nothing much, ma'am. Say, what kind of place is this anyway? You know, when they said you were up on your farm, I thought, well, maybe you're
don't
raising avocados.
Don't tell me you've never heard of a fat farm.
Oh, this is a fat farm. Gee, you know, it looks more like a temple. So this is a place where people come to reduce.
Oh, and body revitalization. We have a whole program here, beauty and hair design, but our main emphasis is on reducing.
I see. This would be a terrific thing for my wife to see. You know, she's got a little problem in that
area.
Well,
we'll put her on the list. It's only $200 a day. Now, did you have something to say to me?
I think we ought to forget about that waiting list and see if I can find a more inexpensive
way. As you can see, Lieutenant, I'm on a very tight schedule. If you didn't have anything to say, I really must be
gone. Oh, ma'am, listen, don't worry about that. You go about your business. Now, I'm not going to interfere with your schedule. You do whatever you have to do, and I'll just tag along, and don't you worry about it.
Meanwhile, Shirley's waiting for Vivica by the beach.
You know who I met today? A fellow named David Lang. He had some very nice things to say about you.
I can imagine.
But you know what? It's just possible that this Mr. Lang might know more than he's willing to admit. I mean, about what Mr. Lessing might have been up to and how he expected to get more money.
Lieutenant, David Lang hasn't told the truth about anything for 50 years.
You know, I was wondering about that because, you know, you're so different, and that's what I admire about you. When you don't like somebody, you just come right out and you say it. I mean, when you fired Dr. Murchison and Lessing and everybody else.
Lieutenant, I have to go in this way. I'm afraid you're just going to have to come back another day.
Ma'am, you just do whatever you have to do and don't worry about me. I certainly don't want to interfere with anything.
Nude sunbathing, Lieutenant.
I'll be in town tonight if you'd like to call me then.
No, that's all right, ma'am. No, I'll just wait right out here. You do whatever you have to do.
Oh, I just thought of something. Didn't you say you wanted to talk to Dr. Murchison?
Yes, but we haven't been able to find him.
Oh, that's because I found him. He's right through that door. Go right straight down the corridor and to your left.
Oh, fine. All right, well, thank you, but I'll talk to you later.
It's 3:15. Still waiting for Vivica to arrive, Shirley glances at her watch before heading off to find her. Walking the other way, Vivica waves at two women in red tracksuits who jog by.
Vivica! Vivica, where have you been? I can't wait. Mr. Lang just thinks I've gone to the store for
something. Listen, love, we can't talk now anyway.
Oh, let me get it.
Goodness. That lieutenant is here, so we can't talk now anyway.
I bet he'd be rather curious if he saw us together, wouldn't he?
Well, no one ever has.
Yes, but there's really no reason why not, is there?
Well, no. Let's just wait till this silly business is over with, that's all. Let me walk you to your car.
Murchison's having a massage.
Whoever you are, come liberate me.
Hold up.
Oh, good. Take off your raincoat, the dressing room over there, and take off your clothes, please. I'll be right with you.
Don't let her do it.
Stand up, man. Stand up tight. They'll be taking over the world.
Now, you stop that. We already have.
I'm a policeman, and I'm here to see a Dr. Murchison.
Oh, Dr. Murchison, policeman to see you.
Oh, rescue the Marines. Get out of here.
Oh, you're a naughty boy.
And I drink too much, too.
And you drink too much.
Thank you, honey.
Yeah.
You're all nice, girl. Oh. You know, it would have done you some good, but, oh, what a way to sober up.
Dr. Murchison, my name is Lieutenant Colombo. I'm from the LAPD.
I know. Vivica told me you're looking into Carl Lessing's murder. Poor kid.
Well, as a matter of fact, I am looking at the murder, but I wanted to ask you something, man. You know, I'm surprised to find you here. I thought that she was angry at you.
You don't understand it yet, do you? Nobody does.
I don't quite follow what you're saying.
Because she knows I'll always love her. That's all. Because I understand. The goddess of beauty, sir, never changes. That's why she is what she is.
Shirley.
That's all I want, Vivica. Just to be like you. But with my present lousy job, it's...
Of course, dear. I'll find a place for you. That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
On an executive level? Because, you know, that's really the only way to do anything.
But there just isn't time to... What are you looking for? Did you lose something?
Oh, my cigarettes. I must have dropped them.
Oh, no, wait. Someone will see you. I have some. This'll hold you.
Thanks. I didn't even know that you smoked.
There's a lot we have to learn about each other. But we will. Don't worry. Whew. Tastes terrible. I'm not surprised with the amount of cigarettes you smoke. I think that's our first order of business. To get you the cure. Maybe in Europe. And then we'll start fixing up your office on the top floor, right next to mine.
Yes. Thank you, Vivica.
Vivica looks unnerved. Then Shirley kisses her on the cheek and hugs her.
I won't ever tell anybody anything. Don't worry.
Shirley looks Vivica in the eye, then turns away and gets into her car.
Bye.
Bye, Shirley.
Later, Columbo's sitting in an armchair, scratching his head and looking puzzled. Walking into the room, Vivica doesn't notice him until he goes to get up.
Oh! Couldn't you find Murchison?
Oh, yes, ma'am, I found him, but I guess he doesn't know very much or he can't remember very much, one or the other.
Well, I'm sorry you wasted your time here.
Well, actually, ma'am, it was you that I wanted to talk to. I'll tell you what I was curious about. Do you have a moment?
Go on.
Throat. What I was curious about was, if the murderer stole something from Mr. Lessing that night...
What makes you think something was stolen?
Well, you see, we know that Mr. Lessing worked on a modest salary. Now, we find out that he's planning this big, expensive trip to Europe. So obviously he's expecting
some money. Lieutenant, I really don't know what you're talking about, but I have over a dozen ladies out there waiting for my encouragement. Please excuse me.
You don't mind if I just tag along, do you?
No. I'm sorry, I really am. But you've taken up enough of my day.
She leaves the room. Meanwhile, Shirley's driving in her car, smoking the cigarette Vivica gave her, smiling. As she takes a last drag and stubs it out in the car's ashtray, the road ahead suddenly begins to blur. Vivica's taking an aerobics class in the courtyard.
Alice?
Huh?
You're cheating! Remember your goal. Now, come on. Harder. Come on. That's the girl. That's it, Mary. Pay attention now.
Hop.
Hop. Charlie, pick up the tempo a little. I'll be right.
Come on, girl. Hop. Down.
She spotted Columbo watching her.
Hop.
You really are a very stubborn man, aren't you, Lieutenant? Do you actually believe that I could have had anything to do with that poor Mr. Lessing's death? Is that why you're chasing me?
Miss Scott, are you aware that Carl Lessing had a photograph of yours which he put in his dartboard and which he used as a target?
A what?
Now, don't get excited. Doesn't mean anything. A lot of people want to throw darts at their bosses. You know, as a matter of fact, a while back here, there was a captain of detectives, and he and I didn't get along. I used to have fantasies about him. I always had my hands around his throat.
You belong in a museum.
Marching away from him, Vivica scratches her hand once more. Meanwhile, Shirley's becoming more disorientated. Approaching a bend, she tries to turn the car in time. Vivica steps onto a treadmill.
Have you ever been in Lessing's place?
Lessing's? Don't be ridiculous.
I'll tell you why I asked that question, because we have a little problem trying to figure out how the perpetrator got in. Now, it occurred to me that, you know, a young guy like that might have girlfriends that he'd give a key to. Why would one of the girlfriends be interested in one of those red jars?
A what?
One of those red jars. You know, the kind that you use in your last research projects? Because the measurements fit. There's no doubt that what was in that flour tin was one of those eight-sided red jars. So maybe Mr. Lessing knew something about that research material that Dr. Murchison didn't. Well, look, I don't want to interfere with your exercise, and you go back and do what you're doing. Well, listen, you know, that's all just speculation. That don't mean anything. What I really want to do is clear up some gossip I keep hearing. And this will be my last question. Miss Scott, you're a beautiful woman. Got a lot of life in you. Handsome young man comes to work for you. Mr. Lessing is an attractive single man.
And you heard that I might have dated him a couple of times, is that it? Well, that's quite true. Do you know how long ago that was? That was 2 years ago, and there have been hundreds since then. I like young men, Lieutenant, lots of them. And if that shocks your ancient masculine double standard, I'm sorry.
Sorry, ma'am, I didn't mean to upset you. I better run along. You've been very cooperative. Thank you very, very much.
He turns and begins to walk away.
Three, four, up. Oh, say, you wouldn't know what poison ivy looks like, would you? I mean, when you get it, like right here, on this finger here.
I'm afraid I don't.
Broke out a couple hours ago. He's just like the devil. You know, I got a nephew out at UCLA. He's a resident dermatologist out there. He said it sounded like poison ivy.
A dermatologist. Well, it must be poison ivy.
Yeah. I tell you, the only problem is a guy down at headquarters, Sergeant Kaiser, a German guy, his hobby is horticulture. You know, plants. So he told me there is no poison ivy in Southern California. Not enough moisture.
Well, then maybe it isn't poison ivy.
Then I went out to UCLA. I showed it to my nephew. He looked at it. He said it is poison ivy.
Lieutenant, I did not kill Carl Lessing. I couldn't kill a fly.
Columbo leaves without a word. Vivica glances down at her irritated hand. Getting out of her car outside Beauty Mark Inc., Vivica once again blows the doorman a kiss as she passes. Upstairs, her secretary intercepts her.
Oh, Miss Scott, wait.
Columbo's sitting in her office.
I just couldn't stop him. The cleaning girl had the door open.
It's all right, Dora.
Columbo's holding a newspaper reporting Shirley's death.
Lieutenant?
Scott, I want to compliment you on your office. It's very impressive.
Well, thank you. What can I do for you? Dora, as soon as the directors arrive, would you please send them right in?
Actually, I just came here to apologize, so it'll only take a second.
Apologize for what?
I thought I upset you yesterday. I regret that. However, it's done is done. What, you happen to see this?
Oh, yes, I heard about that. She was a very pretty girl, wasn't she?
You didn't happen to know her, did you? No, I only asked because she was Mr. Lang's secretary.
As a matter of fact, we did meet once. Just the other day, she was with David at a fashion show. We spoke, but that's all. Why?
Just thought maybe you could help me, that's all. Tell you, this guy, David Lang, he's the toughest nut to crack I've ever run into. But listen, never mind. That's my problem.
Well, there was nothing wrong with this, Shirley Blaine's death, was there?
Well, in a bad car accident like that, it's kind of hard to tell, but one of the doctors, he thought her eyes were sort of dilated.
Well, what does that mean?
Could be drugs, quick-acting poison. You know what I found out? I found out that they actually use poisons when they make cosmetics. Belladonna, aconite.
Not that much anymore, Lieutenant.
No, huh? Not anymore. Well, there was one thing they found. A copy of an enormous check from Mr. Lang to a fellow named Harry Smith. What was funny about this is that the bank tells me that Mr. Lang drew this check the morning before Mr. Lessing was murdered and brought it back, put it back into his account the afternoon after he was murdered.
Well, what does David say?
What does the clam say?
Well, his closet is rather full of snakes. Once he opens his mouth on anything. No, but really, Lieutenant, I think just because David was once a chemist himself doesn't mean that he would try to use drugs on anything as horrible as that.
He was a chemist. Well, that might be very helpful to me. Thank you. That just might help me. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm going to get out of your hair, Miss Scott. I see you have other things to do.
Bye-bye.
Say, I was going to show you something funny. Didn't that look awful? But I tell you, it sure stops the itching. Incidentally, that was poison ivy. My nephew got the report in this morning.
Oh, you poor thing.
But I tell you, that's not the funniest part. Here's the funny part.
You know, the problem was, where did I get the darn stuff? Because they don't have any here in California. Except maybe in one place. Lessing's place. Hard to believe.
Photographs.
What are those?
Oh, we always take a lot of photographs, so you don't want to see that. Here we are. I guess what Mr. Lessing did was, I guess he had a second job and he worked for a medical lab every once in a while.
Yeah, that looks like Latin.
But I couldn't guess that because I only take in Spanish. But you know what that means?
Not poison ivy.
Exactly. That's the extract of poison ivy. That's called urushio. And that's the stuff that makes your hand itch. Now, he must have had a jar, somewhere around the apartment and somewhere I must have touched it. So I sent a whole crew of guys out there now, and they're going to comb that place and see whether they can come up with that. You have the time? Oh, I think I have one. Oh, dear. Miss Scott, I want to thank you for being so patient. And I want to thank you for being so nice yesterday.
Oh, anytime, Lieutenant. Goodbye.
Columbo shakes her hand and leaves. As soon as he's out of the door, Vivica yanks off her glove and checks her poisoned hand. Taking a moment to consider, she runs over to the wall safe and opens it. She takes out the red jar, removes the lid, and remembers rubbing the cream between her finger and thumb. Anxiously, she places the lid back on top of the jar. She closes the safe, puts the jar in her bag, and heads out. A little later, she finds Murchison riding an exercise bike.
Merch!
Oh, Vivica, not the whip. I'm doing it. I've got 15 miles on this thing already.
Merch, dear, I wasn't going to bother you with this for a while, but I'm curious about something and I just have to know the answer.
I love you. What else?
If I brought you a quarter of a cup of something, could you analyze it for me right away?
Vivica, if it's over 86 proof.
Oh, stop being foolish. I'll call you in a few minutes. Oh, Merch, don't tell anyone.
Do I ever?
Stepping into the lab, Vivica goes over to a desk and takes out the red jar. Finding an empty vial, she sits down and begins to unscrew the jar's lid. Hearing the car horn, she goes to the window and sees two police cars entering the courtyard. A team of officers climb out, led by the sergeant. Looking down at the jar and panicking, Vivica searches for somewhere to hide it. She opens a drawer but reconsiders. Then, noticing the window at the other end of the room, she walks over to it and looks out. Spying the rocks at the water's edge, she looks at the jar and considers. As the sergeant and three other officers make their way towards the lab, Vivica opens the window, hesitates, then hurls the jar towards the sea, smashing it against a rock. Breathing heavily, she composes herself, then closes the window. She strides purposefully over to the door, then opens it, letting the sergeant and his team into the lab.
Sorry to disturb you, ma'am, but I have a court order here to search these premises. You fellas check back in there. You stand here. Excuse me, ma'am.
This is outrageous. Who's responsible for this?
The officers begin their search.
What are you looking for? Let me put it this way. If you found a little red jar with an eight-sided bottom, would you get promoted?
Just take it easy, lady. Just take it easy.
Taking it easy? As a matter of fact, I could offer you a drink and help you search if I weren't so furious.
No luck yet, Lieutenant. No luck at all.
Lieutenant, would you please do what you have to do and get out of here? How long is this going to take?
Damnedest case I've ever seen.
Will you answer me? How long is this going to take?
Found the poison ivy.
That's good. Where?
In Lessing's place.
I know at Lessing's, but where?
It was in the bottom drawer of a file cabinet. The drawer was locked.
You were nowhere near that drawer.
I know. I never opened the drawer. Still trying to figure out where I got my poison ivy.
Poor thing. Still worried about your itch.
You worried about yours?
No.
Couldn't help noticing, ma'am, the past few days you've been scratching your hand and wearing gloves.
So?
Been out of state recently?
No.
Neither have I.
Lieutenant, you amaze me. Number one, you don't even know if I have poison ivy.
The doctor will tell us that.
Number two, even if I do have it, it has nothing to do with Carl Lessing because I never touched that vial.
You're under arrest for murder.
Vivica stares at him.
Sergeant, would you step out of the room for a moment?
Hey, Lieutenant, another second or so, I'll have
it. Don't worry about it.
Okay. All right, fellas, let's go.
Waiting until he and Vivica are alone, Columbo steps over to a bag and reaches into it. He takes out Carl's microscope and places it on the desk in front of her.
Do you ever have the feeling when you're about to go on a trip that you forgot something? You know, just as you get in a cab and you're going to the airport, you have an anxious feeling that you forgot something, that something is missing. That's the feeling I got the first time I saw that microscope. I remember I turned and I saw it, and I said, is that a microscope? And I started walking toward it, and I remember the fingerprint man. He was talking. I didn't hear him good because I was distracted by the feeling that something was missing. Do you know what I mean?
That can be very annoying.
It was, until an hour ago. Run into George, my brother-in-law, just back from Mexico today. He said, take a look at these. Knows I love family pictures. Took these out, handed them to me, and he said, these are the best slides I've ever taken. Slides. That's when it hit me. Where there's a microscope, there's always a slide. You see, we got our poison ivy in the same place. We both touched the slide. You touched it when you picked up the microscope and hit him. That's when the slide broke. I got it when I put my hand on the floor and it touched a piece of glass. I remember because I said, fellas, feels like there's broken glass here.
Vivica looks deflated.
The fingerprint man, he thought the glass came from a drinking glass.
Wow.
She looks him in the eye.
Very good, Lieutenant.
Officer?
The sergeant steps back into the room and takes off his hat, while Columbo gazes sympathetically at Vivica.
Officer, take care, Miss Scott, and I'll be right with you.
Give your brother-in-law a message for me. Something appropriate.
Columbo shrugs.